When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and it is Draft Eve.
Draft Day Eve. Happy Draft Day Eve to all. Woo. Here we go. Getting
these
there.
Are the, so there are certain days that we mark the calendar by.
Oh, yeah.
For us. Draft is obviously one.
Huge.
Then you go opening day of OTAs.
That's a big one.
That's obviously a big one. Mini camp starting. That's another big one.
Yep.
Opening a training camp.
Huge.
Huge. First preseason game. Again, you get that out of the way. Start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
End of the season. Playoffs, obviously. And then for us, the combine is always a big
Oh, yeah. I'd even throw schedule release days.
Schedule release days
certainly
in there.
Free agency.
The way
opening.
You mark the calendar year is just that's the way we do it.
I'll be honest, for a large percentage of my life, I couldn't sleep the night before the draft. I mean, I had an easier time as a seven-year-old sleeping on Christmas Eve than I did the night before the draft. And my wife now, we just celebrated our 26th anniversary not long ago this month. And when we first met, she knew nothing about sports, still doesn't, thank God, because I don't have to be, she'd be telling me all the things I do wrong in draft world. I basically told her, I'm like, there's this few days where you're not going to hear from me, hon. And if, heaven forbid, something happens to the fam or whatever, I'm kind of off the grid. You know, like, this is, don't expect to hear from me. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I don't act like myself. And here we go. It's gearing up, and I'm psyched.
Well, I basically got like 7 months out of the year where it's that way for me.
Sure.
Like,
sure,
you
sure.
Just, once football season starts, my wife knows, okay, actually, she always liked it better. She always told me because she knew exactly what my schedule was going to be during football season.
That's the thing, is it becomes Groundhog Day.
Same thing for
season.
Players. That's why they like to keep everything's regimented.
Yep.
And so you keep it that way.
That's why a Thursday night game throws us all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, right?
Or a Saturday
like
game.
Right,
like,
right,
come
right.
on.
Let alone COVID when they're playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and nonsense.
So, Matt, we're on the eve of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. And I still think a lot of people in Pittsburgh, a lot of Steeler fans, are pounding the table. It has to be a center in the first round. They've got to take a center in the first round, or this draft is just a disaster. And I'm at the point now where I don't think that's the case.
I don't either. And there's a lot of angles at it, and I understand the legacy of centers in Pittsburgh, and I have great respect for it. And for much of my lifetime, they've had a Hall of Fame center or a near Hall of Fame center, and they've had great success. And I do think one thing, there's a reason for both those things.
Yeah.
I mean, and I respect that position as
they
much
value
as anyone.
The position, you know.
Absolutely. And I do think the league showed us that this group of free agents, you know, they made more money than you and I thought. You know, like, people are understanding the value of centers, and I do as much as anyone. That being said, I also think you can manufacture centers, you know, turn guards into centers.
Jeff Hardings was a guard.
Wasn't Damarney Dawson, too? I mean, or both? I mean, I know he had both by his name when they drafted him and Lanza, you know, right next to each other that year. I mean, so Pouncey's brother was a guard because
Pouncey
was the same on the inside. But and again, I'm not discouraging it. I just think that tackles are much, much more difficult to come by. And just speaking of Steelers' legacy, no offense to Tunch or Searcy or any of the great, you know, tackles that have played here. It's probably the weakest position in Steelers' history. You know, there's just not
punter.
Hall of Famer. Punter, okay. You know, there's just not Hall of Famers everywhere. It's not Blunt and Woodson as your best corners. And there's a reason for that, too. It's because this organization has been so good. Jonathan Ogden's gone by the time they pick. Baselli's gone. They
don't get those chances.
You don't get the opportunity to take sure first-round center or tackles And this year you might get a crack at it. So do it, you know. Yeah. If you could do it 2 years in a row, that'll have great ramifications.
That's why, to me, if you get to, say, pick 15-ish, mm-hmm. and one or two of those guys are still on the board.
The Lathams, the Fuagas.
The surefire, the top five guys. Mm-hmm. I don't put Mims in that category. I would take Mims at 20 if...
But that's a discussion. The other ones aren't, you know, right.
If one of those top five guys happens to slide that far, or two of them, I'm interested in moving up.
I'm coming around on that just for those guys, you know, because originally I thought, man, this is a trade down draft. I mean, because I want more stuff on day two. The Steelers have plenty of needs that they could address on day two. And I still am in that boat. And, you know, we do these mocks, and trading down usually works out pretty well. But for those dudes in a Broderick Jones-like manner.
If you end up with coming out of these last two drafts, with your starting tackles for the next 10 years, that's pretty impressive. You know, and all it costs you is, say, a fourth-round pick last year and maybe a third-round pick this year to move up and get one.
Right.
Sign me up.
That's a lovely thing that could happen, and you look at it, maybe look back in Steeler history and be like, that was a lot different than the first 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, having bookend tackles is a great luxury. Now, it doesn't have to be tackle in round one. I don't think it has to be center, but I think they're the most logical suggestions. And I know no one wants to hear this, but there's a lot of third and fourth round centers or guards you could turn into centers. And I know that Green did not work out in that capacity. It doesn't mean every guard turned center in the history of the world will never work out again. That you can live with or be happy with. And I know nobody wants to hear, I don't want a center I can live with. I want Pouncey. I get it, folks, but chances are even a first-round center won't be Pouncey. It'll be a good player, but it probably won't be Pouncey, you know?
Yeah, it might not be Dermoni Dawson.
Might,
you know, again, they got Jeff Hardings as a free agent, you know, after he had played guard, mm-hmm. you know, in his career.
Most of the time,
these guys that make a transition does work out.
Just because Green didn't doesn't mean everyone in the history of the world won't be able to do it.
Yeah,
right, you know?
Connor Williams, who is still out there, by the way, and remains unsigned, was an offensive tackle in college.
Tackle at Texas.
Who kicked into guard and then kicked into center.
Yeah, yeah. And you see that stuff all the time. I mean, if you go around...
If you're an athlete, you should be able to do it.
If you're smart, I mean, learning to snap is not all that difficult. You know what I mean? People can do that. A lot of these guards will be able to play center. A lot of the centers that are third-roundish guys will start in this league for a long time and be fine and be... frankly, better than what the Steelers
some of the centers drafted in this taken in this draft wound up playing guard.
Mm-hmm.
We had the comment on our mock draft that we did on Steelers.com, the three rounder that we did, the second one, and we didn't make the pick, but the computer had the Ravens take Jackson Powers Johnson at 28, 29, wherever they're at.
Right. And they had Linderbaum.
And we had the comment, well, they've got Linderbaum. Why would they take him? Because he could play guard.
Because he'll be a guard. Right.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine with it. Yeah. No question about it. That internal flexibility is very common around the league. I bet if we put a list together, you know, we all can take or leave Pro Football Focus. But let's just say there are 15 centers from last year. I bet very few of them are picked in the first two rounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they're good players. I mentioned
the best center in the league over the last decade, who just retired in Philadelphia, was a sixth round pick.
He was a six,
yeah,
undersized guy. Kelsey, we're talking about, of course. I mean, the hit rate in the first round is very good, but a lot of teams are playing with really solid mid round picks at center and having great success.
I can't get past, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, that 50-year option, the way it is now structured in the NFL. Mm-hmm. All offensive linemen are the same on their 50-year option.
Brutal.
And we know that all offensive linemen are not the same.
No.
You know, offensive tackles get paid more money than the interior guys.
Because they're rarer.
Yes.
Right.
But if you have to pick up the 50-year option on your center, he's going to make tackle money.
He'll be like the highest paid center in the league.
Yeah.
Like Linderbaum's been great for the Ravens. First round pick.
Are they going to want to pay him tackle money on a 50-year option?
I'm going to say he's going to have to be a top three or four center in the league to be worth picked up his fifth-year option.
I can't remember. Has he made a Pro Bowl yet?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But if he does, now he's getting paid as one of the top five offensive tackles in the league.
Right. He's making Trent Williams money. I mean, like, the one's a lot rarer than the other.
Yeah.
So if you can draft Trent Williams at 20, I'd much rather do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just makes more financial sense.
It does. It does. I mean, it's not a small thing, the fifth-year option, but it's just one example of, you know, even paying him first-round money, he's going to be amongst the top 10 centers or so in the league financially.
Let's explore this then, Matt. We've done a lot of trade downs when we've done our mock drafts. If you had the opportunity to go to 33, if you were dead set on taking a center, that would be the move to make.
100%. I mean, because I think you then get, I think Frazier or Powers Johnson would be there.
Would be there, and now you don't have to use a fifth-year option on them.
Yep, you'd get a lot to go from 20 to 33.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or 35.
34 or 35, right. Something like that. Somebody wanted to come up and get, let's say the Raiders pass on a quarterback in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But then they decide, well, we want to come up and get a quarterback. We want to get one at 20. We want to get one somewhere.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk.
I'm going to want a lot. You're coming up to get a quarterback, but that's perfect if you're dead set on taking a center.
And much
first,
like the Steelers did last year, well, they did the opposite. They traded up for Jones, traded back, and got Herbig. You know what I mean? And that worked out great. But there's many examples of doing the opposite where, okay, you know, you could trade out of the first round altogether. We might not even have a conversation on when we get together Friday to talk about the draft. Maybe they didn't have a pick. But if so, they would have so many.
They would have a lot,
resources. You could turn one of them into a, I'm not saying Brandon Ayuk, but you could turn them into a veteran from some other team at any position. You could trade up. You could have some future picks. You just have a ton of flexibility, and Omar Khan has shown he will move around the draft board. You know, and maybe your first pick is a center at 35. Or
the thing to do might be to move back twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Slide back with some. Let's say you make a trade with the Cardinals, for example.
Yeah.
And go down to 27.
Right.
Well, then you make another trade to go down to 33.
And
or
then
whatever.
You take Powers Johnson.
And then you take Powers Johnson, and you picked up an extra third round pick and maybe an extra two somewhere in there.
And as was the case last year with Porter, teams are going to call you all Thursday night, you know, looking for those premium day two picks. You know, someone's going to want the next Will Levis. Maybe that's Nix or Penix or whoever. And that pick has a lot of power, too. And there's two centers on the board. Great. That would be a fun scenario. And you may end up leaving this draft without a stud, but you may end up starting with a starting center and four other, you know,
future starters.
Yeah.
If not this year,
there'll
be contributors this year who will be starters down the road. You've just remade your roster.
Yeah. You could end up with four Bentons. You know, okay.
When we have done that in our mock drafts, that's where we get the defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have some other needs. Defensive line is a need.
Sure.
It's not a glaring, I got to get somebody this year.
It's a little bit of a luxury item.
Yeah.
I don't have to, but it'd be sure nice.
And if you can do that and still get your center, maybe instead of getting one of those top tackles, you decide, oh, we'll take a Blake Fisher and round, you know, somewhere.
Or the kid from Yale and develop him. And, you know, maybe he's Moore's replacement a year from that.
Right.
He doesn't play one snap for you. Okay, but it pays off.
That would make a ton of sense to me.
And, oh, by the way, you have two really enticing quarterbacks on this roster, neither of whom is under contract next
year.
You may have
to go get a quarterback next year.
You have to go get a quarterback or trade for one or have future picks.
Maybe you're in the Dak Prescott.
You could afford them if you wanted. I mean, that could happen. Yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of options. And if you do accumulate a lot of picks by moving from 20 out of round one, it just gives you a lot of cards in your hand. I'm not saying it's the best move, but it's not a bad move.
No, I would completely get it because I just don't. The more I've given it thought, the more I don't know that I am interested in a fifth-year option on a center.
Yeah, at 20.
At 20.
Yeah, exactly. The fifth-year option thing is really not an option for a center. It's kind of a loophole in the CBA.
Yeah. So you gotta play with the cards that are dealt to you, unless you could say we're gonna go fish here. We're gonna give me some more cards.
Give me some more cards. I'll take all those second-round cards. Those are Leggett and Pearsall and Chris Jenkins and maybe Robinson from Missouri and Powers Johnson and Frazier. And I bet people like those names.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, right.
Yeah. But as Omar Khan said the other day, you don't trade away if there's a great player there at 20, then you take him. If one of those tackles is there at 20, you take him.
I think you're very happy if one of those
if they get within range where you can go get one, you do it.
Yeah. I mean, if they took Brian Thomas from LSU at 20, I didn't really see that coming, but I would totally understand.
Yeah.
You know, you don't trade away from a great talent. Okay, I get it, you know?
Yeah, so that's just some food for thought there.
Yeah, it's just
options. If they don't get the center in round one, You know, everybody's going to be screaming on Friday next, you know, oh, I can't believe they didn't take a center. There's other ways you can attack this.
It would be fun. We've run out of time here. We should have done this last week, but we do so many mock drafts. We should set one up where we trade from 20 to 35 and just see what happens, because I guarantee Frazier or Power Johnson.
We do have a mock draft coming today.
I mean, we could set it up so that way. I mean, I know it's hard to
we
trade
could do
up.
Two mock drafts.
We could do two. I would say that could be fun just to see, folks, what happens if we traded out of round one altogether and ended up with an early second. I can guarantee you'd be happy with what you get in return in terms of the volume of it all. You
know? How about this? How about we do next?
All right, that'd be fun.
Let's take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, we mentioned that we would do a mock draft here where we trade out of the first round.
Yeah.
We haven't really done that much here. So we'll see what happens here as we get down.
We don't have to do this, but I think some of the intentions would be center with that first pick.
Yeah.
You know, the Frazier's, the Power Johnson, you know, it doesn't mean we have to go that direction.
And so this draft actually worked out pretty well, because at 20, all the top tackles are gone, including Mims.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So now we would look.
Now I'd be really interested in making a deal of this nature.
So we have one trade offer. It's from Detroit.
Okay.
They want 20 and 195 for 29 and 61.
Okay. And then maybe at 29 we get out of the...
We may trade back again, yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to accept that one.
All right, yeah, because the nature of this whole segment is big trade downs.
Yeah.
What's it look like? Okay, so the picks roll off.
The picks are rolling off here. We're getting down to 29 and...
And once again, I would not love taking a center in round one, you know, because of the fifth-year option stuff. But okay.
We only have one trade offer here again, but it's from San Francisco. They want 29 and 84 for 31 and 63.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and
say, but for the nature of this,
we'll accept it again,
just to see what things look like when we eventually get to out of the first round.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. The Bengals are on the phone. We're gonna reject that one because we don't do business with the Bengals.
Sure.
Cleveland's on the phone. We don't do business with them. Dallas is on the phone. Dallas is offering 56, 87, and next year's second round pick for 31.
I was hoping to go back just a handful of spots.
Well, we can.
But we can still do it for nature.
We can make some offers here. I'm gonna reject that one.
Okay.
But then I'm gonna make an offer to one of these teams,
Carolina or Washington, or you know, one of these teams picking early.
To one of these teams at the top of the second round. So let's go with the, let's say, I don't know. Who do we want? We got, so the team's still at the air. You got Carolina, New England, Arizona, Washington, and the Chargers.
I would say Arizona or Washington.
All right, we'll talk to Arizona first. They've got 35 and 66, 71 coming up here. Let's propose a trade with them, the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll give them 31 for 35. And we don't even need that much.
No, we don't need that much.
We've picked up a lot already to move out of
there. I wouldn't mind getting less picks, you know, because we've had two trade downs, which is somewhat unrealistic, but we're getting to where we want to be, you know, the nature of this. Could we give up 2 5s? The one and pick up a third. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we need as many picks as we've had.
I'm going to offer them 31, 178, and a fifth round pick next year.
Okay.
For 35 and their fourth round pick.
Great. Okay. Yeah. I want to
get next year. Next year's fourth round pick.
Okay. That's fine. I bet that might even be a little light for us. We might be able to get more than that. Maybe if it's a third next year.
Well, I just want to get there, so let's see.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we don't have to negotiate these trades like we usually do.
No.
Bite and scratch forever.
That's accepted. Okay.
Okay. So now we're there where we wanted to
be. We wanted to be at. Okay. So we've got two more trade offers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Carolina wants to give us 39 and 101 for 35 and next year's one of our sevens next year.
I think we kind of hang here and see what's available.
Let's just make the picks now. Okay, so at 35.
Okay, so we're out of round one altogether.
The top players available. Byron Murphy.
Wow.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay, that fits what we were looking to do here.
Jordan Morgan, Tyler Newbin, Darius Robinson, Ladd McConkey, TJ Tampa, Zach Frazier.
Okay,
so, you know,
so
now if
we don't pick again until 51, right?
We don't pick again until 51. If we wanted to, we could trade up. We got the ammo to do it. Do we just take Powers Johnson here?
I say let's take the center.
Okay.
And then go from there.
All right.
Now, like, hey, if Robinson falls 5-8 more spots or somebody like that, I might consider.
Okay. Yeah, he just went to 39. I mean,
figured he would.
But there are still some very good players there.
We have a lot of stuff still.
Our pick is coming up.
And we're done. Now, I don't think we have to take a tackle, but I would be very interested in receivers, maybe multiple receivers.
Okay, so Byron Murphy is still there. I don't know what's going on with that.
I think that's cheating, to be honest with you. Let's pretend he doesn't.
Yeah.
He went.
Top players available. Zach Frazier was still there.
Okay. Would have been good to know. But
yeah. We didn't know that then.
What we did so far.
Trey Benson, Jalen Polk, Ruka Rohro.
I'm really growing fond of Polk, by the way. I think he's real close to a plug-and-play number two for his whole life.
Yeah.
Robert Woods.
Chris Braswell's there. Cameron Kitchens, Patrick Paul, Michael Hall, Mike Sanistrill.
Sanistrill would be really interesting.
Sinnott. Chris Jenkins, Jonathan Brooks. Roman Wilson is there. Ricky Pearsall is there. There's some dudes there that we could, and we're going to get, we have this pick, then we have 61, 63, and 98.
That's kind of what I was talking about before. This is the beauty of it all, is I like three or four of those receivers. I like Jenkins. I like Sanistrill. You know, we could make the
Rohro is there.
Rohro is really interesting. Any of the above to me is really interesting. What do you want to do here, though? You know, like,
well, so we make this move back, as I said, because this gives us the opportunity now to take that defensive lineman. That if we stayed where we were at, we probably don't get. If we take the defensive lineman with our normal picks, we probably then short ourselves at one of those other positions of need.
Jenkins is my vote for that reason.
Yeah.
Because there is going to be a receiver with these next couple picks that we could get.
There will be a tackle that we can get.
Yeah,
those guys will be there.
Guy.
There'll definitely be a cornerback that we'll like.
I think this is the whipped cream and cherry on the Sunday that we get. That's the benefit of trading down.
All right.
Now we get the Jenkins.
Let's take Jenkins.
Okay.
So now we've got Jackson Powers Johnson. We've gotten Jenkins.
And now it's almost like a normal one of our drafts where we just don't need a center, but we're going to be in the any tackle's certainly attractive.
So we've got 61 and 63 here.
Okay. We could take two receivers here and I'd be happy.
Absolutely. Frazier's still there.
Yeah.
That's,
such is life. But okay.
Benson, Ruka Rohro, Chris Braswell, Cameron Kitchens, Michael Hall. Sanistrill's still there.
I say Sanistrill could be one of these picks. Would be fine with me. That's, again,
really like that.
Instead of getting a nickel corner that you really like, you get the nickel corner.
The nickel corner.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I think that's the pick.
Just tell me the receivers real quick.
We pick again.
I know we pick in two picks.
We pick again in two picks. So the receiver's still available. McMillan. Devontae Walker. Johnny Wilson. Jermaine Burton. Now, those got picked over pretty good. Malik Washington is there. Brendan Rice.
I say take Sanistrill, and then we can revisit these receivers.
Yeah, we may take a tackle instead.
We got hit hard on receiver. That didn't go as planned, but okay.
It is what it is. All right, so you want to take Sanistrill there?
I do.
All right. Sanistrill is the pick. Now we're up again here at 63.
I hate reaching, but I wonder if we should reach for one of these receivers. But I would also be interested in a tackle.
Well, the tackle's available. Roger Rosengarten.
At this point, that doesn't bother me at all.
No.
He's a right tackle.
Right. Athletic.
I don't see him as a first-round player. But in this situation, I'm real fine with that.
Agamba DJ, Blake Fisher.
Okay. I like Rosengarten a little more than Fisher.
I could see that, yeah.
Agamba DJ is really interesting, but I think I'd rather have a right tackle that might be a week one starter.
You want to take him there?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we need receivers bad.
Now we might double down our next two picks. Mm-hmm. Well, we have one pick left, 119.
Okay. We also have a lot of future picks that we could call teams.
Well, actually, we got 98. We got 98 and 119 coming up. We could take back,
one of those has to be receiver in my book.
We could take back-to-back receivers.
Yeah. I mean, a Johnny Wilson, a Malik Washington, those type of guys. And receiver didn't go as planned for this exercise, which is
could happen.
Could happen, right.
But again, we may make a trade at some point for
a veteran.
Yeah, right. trade a future pick for a veteran. All right, the Bills are offering 128, 133, 160 for 98 and next one of our sevens.
Yeah, I think
next
we
year.
Just stick a pick.
And yeah. Okay. So the top receivers available. Johnny Wilson.
I'd be fine with that.
Jermaine Burton. Malik Washington. Jamari Thrash.
If you're fine, Burton's the best player.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers have managed some egos, some oddballs at the receiver position more than others. He may not even be on their board. They may be like, he's undraftable. I mean, I honestly think he's like the seventh best receiver in this draft.
I would say if he was still available when we pick at 119.
Then it's just too good to be good.
Yeah.
As the second guy, if he doesn't work out, if he's a problem child and you got to send him home, you at least have another.
I think you take Johnny Wilson.
I really like Wilson.
Yeah, I think you take Johnny Wilson here.
I think he also fits what Arthur Smith does really well.
All right, so now we're moving here again down to 119. This would be really bad radio for us on Saturday.
Three.
Yeah. We'd be doing a lot of talking about how these new guys fit.
Yeah. And now, I mean, a McConkey, I mean, the slot wouldn't be terrible here. I think Burton is somebody you should grab if available, but there's an asterisk to his name, of course.
Okay. The top players available at wide receiver, Jamari Thrash, Brendan Rice, Jacob Cowing, Luke McCaffrey, Taj Washington.
I was going to mention the name McCaffrey when I said I just said slot receiver.
I think you take him.
I think that's fine with that.
Yeah.
He's couldn't be any different than Wilson.
Right. But you've added two bodies to that. You know, if one of them hits, you're good. If both of them hit, you're outstanding.
And I'm still very much in the market for a veteran wideout.
Yeah.
But you ended up with future picks. It took us two trades to get in the second round in this mock. But if you made a deal with the Raiders or somebody like that, you'd probably end up with their second next year or something good, you know.
So what we ended up with coming out of that, Jaxson Powers-Johnson at 35.
You're starting day one. You're our center. Right?
Chris Jenkins at 51.
Okay. I like that a lot.
Mike Sainistrill at 61.
Okay. They're going to room together.
Roger Rosengarten at 63.
Okay.
Johnny Wilson at 98. Luke McCaffrey at 119. And Arizona's fourth-round pick next year.
Okay. Now, I would not, on draft day eve, I would roll the dice and see how things go. I wouldn't just trade the Steelers picks for that haul.
Given that all the offensive tackles were off the board,
right?
If we would have stuck at 20 and picked, it might have been Powers Johnson.
Right.
Then we don't get Sainistrill. We don't get Rosengarten.
You don't have the future pick from Arizona.
We may not have taken Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, I mean, you may use that Arizona pick to go trade for a starting receiver.
Right.
You know, like tomorrow.
Yeah, you now have two fourth-round picks next year. To work with. And
frankly, receiver could have treated us better in this draft.
Right.
You know, like we could have not taken Jenkins and taken Pearsall or.
So here's the thing.
Frazier ended up lasting to 51. We didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm looking here at the guys still available now that the draft is over. At receiver, Ryan Flourney from Southeast Missouri State, Aeneas Smith from Texas A&M, Isaiah Williams from Illinois, Anthony Gold from Oregon State.
Those are draftable good players.
Draftable guys that I may want to bring in anyways.
Oh, yeah. I'd give them
and they might make your team. So,
no, I mean, that's going to be true no matter how the first seven rounds go. I mean,
but I look at this as our first four picks, we get four doubles.
See, I used the Benton example earlier because he was not Porter, the first pick in the second round. He was a mid-second round pick. And I get that he hit. I mean, if they redrafted last year's draft, Benton goes.
He goes in
the
first round. Yeah,
you know, of course. But if you could end up with four or five of those, and three or four of them hit in some degree as a Herbig or better,
now you've had two back-to-back drafts where you've kind of remade your roster.
Yes, and you have an extra big guy that you didn't have, or something like that. I think it's just an intriguing team build. I mean, because really trading down from. If it was one trade, if you traded from 20 to 36, you'd have a lot in return.
Now I
want that third as well, and maybe a future second.
Yeah.
From a bad team, you know.
If
the Raiders are like, I need Penix, and I'm going to pay the quarterback tax to do it. You may end up with the Raiders first round pick next year.
You could,
which
to
might
go up
be,
that far, yeah.
It might be, give me your two, give me your three, and I want at least your second next year, maybe your first, and I'll throw you a three next year or something like that.
I think
if we
looked at this through the lens of we didn't make any trades,
mm-hmm.
and we came out of this draft with Powers, Johnson, Jenkins, Sanderstil, Rosengarten, Johnny Wilson, Luke McCaffrey.
Not too bad.
And an extra fourth round pick. Okay.
Yeah. That's not bad. Right. 100%. I mean, there's a lot of people clamoring going, just take Powers Johnson at 20. Okay. But what if we can finagle it and get out of the first round, not worry about the fifth
now
round?
Now, we wouldn't have gotten Sanderstil there. Maybe instead of Rosengarten, we would have gotten Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But maybe we wouldn't have taken Jenkins. We'd have taken Pearsall.
Yeah. You know? But then we didn't get Jenkins.
Right.
Yeah. Then we come out short on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, Jenkins and Burton could be your Broderick Jones and Mims of the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they could be your foundational big guys on defense for a long time. I mean, I'm not saying they're Cam Hayward, but they could be really good players.
I don't hate that either. In fact, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it does. I mean, I don't think one – I hate to say it, but I don't think one of the – was it five tackles is going to be there at 20.
Yeah.
And trading up is fine.
And in this situation, six
really
were gone.
Short on this.
Six tackles were gone. Mims wasn't even there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, getting out of round one altogether is not insane to me.
No, especially in this draft where I think day two.
If you had day two picks.
Yeah. Is really a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are guys in the day two.
And the thing we didn't do, which is just hard for radio, is if you'd left day one with nothing, but you had five day two picks, as well as some decent future pick that you didn't have before, no one's going to slip that you don't want. Like,
right.
Boy, Pearsall fell to 45.
We can go get him.
I can go easily get him from 51 to 45.
Yeah,
no
problem.
We
can go get him.
No matter who it is, Jenkins or whoever, you know, right.
You know, we just made the deal with Arizona. We could have maybe gotten Arizona's third. I didn't play around with it much.
Of course,
we might have been able to get a third out of Arizona for that.
Just wanted to get here, but we could have probably got more out of those deals than we did.
Yeah.
Without question.
So.
I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I think he will be, but Penix or Nix sitting there at 20, I think Denver and the Raiders really want those two.
Yeah.
And those organizations, Sean Payton will give you anything he wants. You know what I mean? Like, if he wants Nix, okay.
He's going to go get him. Yeah.
Right. I mean, give me Pat Surtain and we'll talk.
Right.
I mean, I'm joking, but give me Dante Adams.
And it just makes so much more sense. If you're in a situation where you're going to take a center,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be one of your top, if not your top pick, then your second pick, do it this way.
Frazier or Powers Johnson at 35?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At 20, I don't love it. At
right. Just because of the positional value.
Right. It's a totally different conversation than, hey, I'll even trade away from Mims at 20 if I can get into early day two and I get that team's Carolina's second next year or the Raiders or Denver's.
Yeah.
I mean, you might need a quarterback, folks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you have an extra second next year, that makes that's some good ammo to have if you're in the quarterback market.
Yeah. And if I can get a bad team's second, third this year and second next year, and maybe I got to throw a little something in besides 20. That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely.
Day two would be a blast.
Absolutely. Let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, the Steelers have, according to Ian Rappaport, restructured the contract of Alex Highsmith. To create an additional $7 million in cap space.
Wow. Okay.
Wonder why they would do that.
Well, you always say this, and I think you're dead on. They very rarely do a move like this just to willy-nilly create cap space.
Right.
I mean, there's almost always another shoe to drop. They need it for player X. Well, I'm interested who player X is, if that's true.
This gets them to about $18 million in cap space.
Okay. And we know some of it goes to draft picks,
right.
And they're going to go into the year with something.
And
they're going to add some other veterans.
But this tells me they've got some kind of move that they're in the process of.
The reason to do it today
right.
is, I assume, because there's something, another shoe to drop.
Right.
Does that mean it's going to be Ayuk? I don't know that, or
could,
who knows?
Could it be Connor Williams? Could it be,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot of different ways that they could go with it. Maybe they do make that trade for Cortland Sutton. Or maybe they, mm-hmm. you know, there's all kinds of things that they could do there with that additional cap space.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the fact that it's the day before the draft makes me also think, okay, we're going to be so busy in these next couple of days.
We want to make sure we have the flexibility.
We want to make sure we have it. We were planning on doing it anyways. Maybe there's not another shoe to drop. But over the next 3 days, if we're talking about, you know, moving back in round one or, you know, any trade on, you know, of draft picks, it might include a player. It
right.
might include a Dane Jackson type guy. You know, someone we're not thinking about that they have their eye on. That's Cortland Sutton. I mean, whoever. I mean, you know, Connor Williams makes sense. I mean, a lot of these. It's going to go to somebody soon, I bet.
Yeah. So, just interesting that they made that move, you know, again, gives them some flexibility, and they still have other moves that they could make to free up more cash if needed.
Yeah, they've really structured their team well in terms of flexibility with the cap. I mean, they're amongst the lowest in the league of guaranteed money that is already guaranteed going forward. You know, so their contracts are very fluid, very liquid, which is on purpose. You know,
yeah, gives you the flexibility to make moves like this.
Your GM's a former cap guy.
Yeah. It just makes me think that something is in the. You know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if they come out of. Let's say they make their picks. On day one mm-hmm. of the draft. And then Friday or Saturday or even Sunday, we get news that, the Steelers have signed Connor Williams.
Yeah, right.
Something along those lines.
That would make all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a receiver. See, if it's a receiver, though, he wouldn't be super pricey.
I mean,
even, like, I bet Odell's the priciest receiver on the open market right now. I'm not implying the Steelers are going to sign Odell. But he's not, I mean, you wouldn't even have to make this move to sign Boyd or Renfro or any of the guys that are out
right.
there now. There aren't many positions, and that's probably true for just about any position. I mean, how many UFAs would you have had to restructure to land right now?
Yeah.
It makes me think it's a trade.
I just think back.
Or Connor Williams.
A couple of years ago, they went through the draft. On Sunday, when they announced their undrafted mm-hmm. free agent class, they also announced the signing of DeMonte Casey.
Yeah.
They kind of slid that one on, you know, by because they didn't get a safety in the draft.
They probably happened on Thursday or Friday.
Right. They agreed to it, and then they said, okay, we're going to, you know, once we get through the draft, we'll announce this.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want to steal from the draft picks thunder, but you don't, you know, and there's some PR stuff there involved too. But no, that's interesting. I mean, I'm curious if there's another shoe to drop before the draft even starts.
Yeah. Well, they don't make this move. Unless they're going to do something. They're mm-hmm. giving themselves the option mm-hmm. to do something. You know, if you do, and I know the Ayuk stuff is out there.
It's out there, right.
And everybody's talking about.
But so do people in Jacksonville and other franchises.
Would you do this, Matt? If the 49ers said, okay, how about this? And, you know, the asking price reportedly is the Steelers' first-round draft mm-hmm. pick. What if you went to them and said, how about this? We'll swap first-round draft picks with you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you George Pickens for Brandon Ayuk. Would that be enough if you're San Francisco, moving from 31 to 20?
Yeah.
Getting George Pickens, who's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Right.
Probably better than anybody you would draft at 20.
They still could draft one at 20.
And they could do whatever. They could draft whoever they want at 20 then.
Still draft Brian Thomas.
That might get them into – maybe they have their eye on a cornerback mm-hmm. that they want to get in this draft.
Line.
Or maybe they want one of these defensive – or one of these ends.
Corner and O-line are their probably biggest needs
yeah.
if they were to stick and pick at 31. Wide receiver aside. I have mixed feelings about that from a Steelers perspective. IU's phenomenal.
Yes. But then you got to pay him.
And you got to pay him. And that price tag for him is fine. I think you still have to draft one then. You're like, I'm not done at receiver with that deal.
If I could
keep Pickens and add Ayuk, I'm done at receiver.
But you haven't lost any draft picks.
Right, exactly.
You've traded George Pickens for Brandon Ayuk, and you move back in the first round.
Mm-hmm. And rewind a segment, then that's Powers Johnson or a receiver, you know, whatever.
Maybe you take Ladd McConkey at 31.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad deal. I don't love moving Pickens in the deal, but that's the only way something like that would work, of course.
If I can get Ayuk out of it, I'd...
Right.
You know.
I mean, he was a one.
Yeah.
And Pickens, you hope, is a one. Ayuk's an easy one all day long.
Ayuk blocks.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
I mean, he blocks.
So the deals I've heard, again, this is speculation. Would you be more interested in the one you offered, or would you be more interested in trading your first two picks for Ayuk and 31, and you have to throw in next year's second?
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
I mean, next year's second, can't forget, you might need a quarterback next year.
You might need a quarterback next year, and next year's draft could be really deep.
Yeah. Might have no quarterbacks. It might have none. It might have great ones. You may have signed one. You may have extended Russell Wilson and Fields, and they're both going to the Hall of Fame, and everything's great. Who knows? But trading early picks next year doesn't really excite me.
No, I'm not into that.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's kind of the asking price I've heard is you could go 20 for Ayuk. All right, I get it. Yeah.
I don't know that I want to give up 20, have no first-round draft pick this year,
but
have Ayuk, but then I got to pay Ayuk $25 million.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the player. Love the player. But I kind of want an early offensive lineman.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And all of a sudden, you don't have that, and the O-line looks pretty bad all of a sudden.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to another break. That's going to do it for our number one of the drive.
Interesting about Highsmith, though.
We'll be back with our number two of the drive right after this.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.